you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Hebrews. We thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days. And I guess when we first met, I was a little bit more wide open than I am now. Never have had but two speeds, slow and off. Mess with me, I'll put it on the other speed. My grandma used to tell me I was born tired and I never got rested. Thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days. All the acts of kindness, food, and another good meal tonight. We appreciate that. The good music. And we thank the Lord for this good church, what it means to us. Your faithful monthly support. We thank you for that. It's always a highlight to come here. We look forward to it. Thank the Lord for it. We have been, I know many of you, most of you have been here every service. We've been looking at that little phrase, this man. Each time it is mentioned, for the most part, they're making a big to-do about Jesus. And so we've been preaching on making much of this man. Made much of his claims, his compassion, his conduct. Appreciate the Lord helping us last night as we tried to make much of this man's cross. Your cross ain't worth mentioning. It wouldn't even get an honorable mention. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. Who cares? When you lay your cross down beside his cross, yours wouldn't even... It wouldn't even be worth mentioning. And when you go to making a big to-do about his cross, he'll make your cross a light burden and an easy yoke. Found that from the scriptures last night. Tonight I want to turn our attention to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And I'd like to, for a little while tonight, make much of this man's continuance. His unendingness. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 24, but, here's our little phrase, this man, preacher, you got any idea how long he's going to be around? He said, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing, preacher, you got any idea how long he's going to live? He said he ever liveth to make intercession for thee. His unending. I don't know if you've ever considered it or not, but our life is full of ends. Some of you young people here tonight, you want a lot of things to end quick. You want to speed up the ends. You that are in elementary school, man, you want it to be over. Man, I want to go to high school. You that are in high school, man, I'll be glad when that's over. It ends. Some of you love to throw that 18 number around. When I get 18, it'll be the end of you telling me what to do. Ends. When you're young, you want to speed them up. But when you get older, you want to slow them down. they've already been set on high speed. So they just keep coming. Ends. College ends. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be glad when I get married and have me a house. I'll be glad when we can have some children. All of a sudden you turn around one day and house is empty. We're glad when we have some grandchildren. Ends. Life is full of ends. Some of you sense that your health is failing you. Your health is coming to an end. Falling apart. Much as you go to the doctor, don't seem to help you much. Your body's falling apart. My mama used to get mad at me. I'd call her on the phone. She'd tell me all her woes. And she'd get so mad at me. I said, "Mama, you checked your birth certificate lately?" I said, "According to your birth certificate, you're supposed to be falling apart." Life is full of ends, constant ends. Some of you have had marriage to end. Some of you have had some friendships that have ended. I was walking around in your graveyard yesterday. I noticed that I hear a lot of your names. I would say some of you have been down there several times. Had some ends. Life is full of ends. I was thinking about my own situation. I have taken and preached a funeral of everybody that was raised in the house I was raised in. I have preached and buried every one of them. They're gone. You wouldn't have to go down to Titusville, get your rocket science degree to figure out I is next. Ends. The only thing that will help you tonight with your ends to get a hold of his unendingness. He has no end. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you could be convinced that you ain't never gonna end either? Although everything around you is coming to an end, you can stand in the middle of all of these ends and be convinced tonight that you yourself will never end. That would be worth shouting about if you were convinced of that. As we begin to think about this truth tonight, you have the Bible there, Hebrews chapter number 3. I would mention first of all tonight in this unendingness, making much of this man's continuance. Notice if you would the continuance of his house. He says in chapter 3 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For, there it is again, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much as he who hath builded the house. Talking about this house that this man has.
hath more honor than the house.
I notice in verse number 6, but Christ as a son over his own house,
what?
Whose house we are.
Y'all probably never have seen the house of God really and truly. Let me give you a side view of it. Let me give you a back view of it. Let me give you a prancing view of it.
Yeah. Amen.
I is the house of God.
Yeah.
I am the dwelling place where God lives. This is not the house of God. We throw that term around. Surely you don't think he stays over here after you leave. What in the world would he want to do that for? He lives in this house. I notice that the writer of Hebrews would speak to us about instructions about his building. The little word house that he uses here, we get our little word pavilion from. The continuance of his pavilion. The little word pavilion is an ornate structure built for dwelling beauty and worship. He has come to live in this house for one reason, to display his beauty and have us to worship him. Talking about instructions about this house. I notice he says in this instruction about this building in chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says that he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. I love this. I know you're not going to believe this. He is the builder of this house. He does not subcontract anything out. He does all the work himself. Wow. Gracious. I'm talking about instructions about this house. Preacher, how could I know for sure that my body is his house? Tells us in verse number 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You must have had a heavenly calling. You mean, preacher, a call to these ears? No. There's many of you sitting here tonight. You have answered a call to these ears, and you're still going to hell when you die.
Well, listen.
There must be a heavenly calling to the ears of your heart. He would give you ears to hear. I find that in this effectual call, it comes with the ability to come. It comes with grace. It comes with faith. It comes with repentance. It comes with justification. It comes with sanctification. It comes with glorification. Everything you need to meet your ends comes with the call. Matter of fact, everything I ever did in salvation, he did it before I did it, caused me to do what I did. Only reason I did what I did is because he did what he did. If he'd never done what he did, I'd never done what I did. Are you listening to me? I'd have never called on him until he called on me. Only reason I received him, because he received me. Only reason I chose him, because he had already chosen me. Only reason I loved him, because he already loved me. Only reason I reached out and received him is because he had already received me. The only reason I called on him is because he had already called on me. I ain't got to get in a whale's belly tonight to figure out the salvations of the Lord. Instruction about the building. I'd ask you tonight just a simple question. And ask you if you ever been down Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I ain't ever asked you if you prayed the sinner's prayer. I ain't asking you if you ever joined Holly Spring Baptist Church. Hell will be full of people joined here. I ain't asking you if you ever been baptized in the baptism pool. I'm asking you tonight, are you 100% sure that God Almighty is living inside of you? He's made a house out of you. He's made a pavilion out of you. Are you sure of that? I tell you, I wouldn't close my eyes tonight. Because you never know. This is off deep. I don't know if you can even get this. Maybe way over your head. You never know when the end's coming.
Well, listen. Yes.
And if you was to have that last end, and you do not know the unending Christ, you will live in a world of nothing but end forever. Wow. Instructions about this building. I mentioned tonight identification with this building. He says in chapter 3 and verse 6, whose building we are. I was wondering tonight, just what kind of house has God moved into living inside of me? You've got the Bible there tonight. Look over in 2 Corinthians for a moment, chapter number 4. Paul mentions a progression of this house that God lives in. Because you know, some of you sitting here tonight, you really think you got you a pretty good house. Some of you sitting here tonight even think you house is good looking. Cute. Wow. You ever looked in the Bible as what God thinks about your house? Notice the scriptures, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 7. Paul said, but we have this treasure. What treasure? Christ has moved in this house. Well, preacher, what kind of house is it? He says, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's an interesting statement. Little word earthen is the little word dirt. The word vessel is our little word bag. Wow. God says, I have moved inside of a dirt bag. Now, you may be a cute dirt bag. She's still a dirt bag. You came from the dirt. You going back. It's the dirt bag. Earthen vessel. He says also in the progression of this house, I'm talking about identification with his building. He says in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians verse number 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if it comes to an end, if this house collapses tonight, he said, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul says, I can stand right in the middle of a world of ends. And if this body collapses and ends, I am going to step into an unending house. Wow. Gracious. I'm going to tell you, that'll help you with your ends tonight. Watch the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. Ends tonight will cause you to faint. It'll cause you to want to give up. You keep having your body to fall apart. You'll lose your song that they sung about tonight. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, this outward body is falling apart. He said, but there's something inside of me that's getting younger and younger and younger and younger and younger and younger and younger, because it has no end. Wow. I was thinking about that unendingness. I know I've probably told you this before, but you probably didn't hear me the last time I told you. Many of you tonight, I ain't trying to put you on the spot. How many of you have believed in Jesus to the salvation of your soul? You raise your hand. You're trying to embarrass you. Trick question. Jesus told Martha down in the graveyard, "He that believeth in me shall never die." Says impossible. Some of you raised your hands and said, "Well, I believe to the salvation of soul." If you've truly believed, it's impossible for you to die. You can't die. Preacher, you're crazy. We've had them laying right here. Graveyard dead. Fooled a hound out of you. Matter of fact, you paid good money for somebody to tell you they's dead. They ain't no more dead than a monkey's uncle. Are you listening to me? Huh? Matter of fact, you took them down here to the graveyard and stuck them in the ground because they's dead. All the time, they alive. Years ago, my mother-in-law, one of the sweetest, kindest, most gracious ladies that you ever want to meet, she loved candy kisses. Loved them. She had a big bowl of them in her hospital room when she's dying. And morning she died, they were going out of the room. They found right over the landing of the door one of the little silver cords out of that candy kiss. And I got to thinking about that. That's just exactly what this body is. It's a candy kiss. You listening to me tonight? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that when we die, God pulls the silver cord. Pulls the silver cord. When we, so to speak, our little world of ends, and we see those people die, God has pulled a silver cord. He takes the kiss to himself. Leaves you the wrapper. My wife and I often, beside our brown recliners in Winterville, Georgia, will often have a stack of wrappers. I have never told her, oh, don't mess with my wrapper. Oh, I love my wrapper. It's a wrapper. Oh, you got the discard of wrapper. Yes, sir. You can make a big to-do of it. You can cry and all that over there. It's just a wrapper. Yeah. But one day, he's going to get the wrapper and the kiss. Put them back together. I assure you, somewhere out there, the kiss is alive and well. I love the hound out of that, don't you? When you make that your emphasis, when you make that your focus as you're going through your ends in life, you cannot get down. It'll always lift you up. Talking about making much to do about this man's continuance. I see not only the continuance of his pavilion. Got the Bible there tonight. Hebrews chapter number 8. I notice the continuance of his promise. Have you ever given any thought as to what has caused your ends? There's only one thing that has caused your ends. Sin. Curse of sin. Adam and Eve couldn't die. They'd have still been living now had they never sinned. Curse of sin is what has brought about our ends. Notice the continuance of his promise. He says in Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 12, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins.
I don't know if you'd see that S or not. That means all of them.
And their iniquities, plural, that's all of them, will I remember no more. That little word, remember, he says, I will not hold them in my mind. He says in other places, he says, I will forgive them. I will absolve them. I will act as though they were never done.
Wow. If sin is what's causing my ends, if I was to believe tonight that all of my sins are gone, that means tonight I ain't never gonna end. Well, I am a forever creature. I don't give a flip what the doctor says. He can tell me I'm going to end. Jesus said, no, you're not. It is impossible for you to end. See, if you make your focus your ends tonight, you're going to be sucking your thumb. You're going to be trying to take you a pill to get up and take you a pill to go to bed. But if you realize your sins are gone tonight and you have no more ends tonight. Oh, if you make that your focus. Oh, how it helps us tonight. How it encourages us to remember continuances of His promises. Not only is there a promise tonight about our iniquities and sin, but there is a promise about our inward state. He says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10, he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and I will write them in their heart and will be to them a God and they shall be to me a people. For the one whom God is dwelling in, he has taken all the sin away. He has made you an unending creature. He has written in your heart the law of God. You remember what I shared with you the other night about the law of Christ? He has written the law of Christ in your heart. You say, what's the big deal about having the law of Christ written in your heart? Not only is all of your sins gone, but because that law of Christ has been written in your heart and you're an endless creature, you can now walk in victory over sin in your daily life.
Right. Yes.
Law of Christ. But you know, in our little religious world, we have the law of man. A lot of people preach the law of man. How do I know if a preacher's preaching to me the law of man versus the law of Christ? How would I know? Sheep, when they're feeding, they go down, get them some grass, come back up, chew it, go back down, get some grass, come back up, chew it, down, give them some grass, come back up, chew it. If a man is preaching from this pulpit the law of Christ, you ought to see the people in the building with the Bible in their hand doing this. If all you have to do is to look at your Bible one time while he's reading his text, it's 95% him and 5% Bible, and it won't do you jack.
That's all right. Amen.
Are you listening to me tonight? It will be the law of man. It'll be mostly what he thinks and what he feels. It'll be his ideas. What will it do to you? It will pull you down where the law of Christ will pull you up.
I'm telling you, the law of Christ will free you while the law of man ties you up. The law of man will burden you while the law of Christ sets you free tonight. If you're an endless creature tonight, all your sins are gone. You're constantly listening for that person that will cause you to get in your Bible, up and down, get in your Bible, so you can feed that never-dying soul inside of you.
Nothing else will do. Continuance of His promises. But I see not only the continuance of His pavilion and promise, I see the continuance of His position. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 1. I see the credentials of His position. Now, if all of my sins are gone, taken care of all of them, and He's living inside of me, that would have to mean that the same credentials that He's got, I now have. What kind of credentials does He have? Watch the text. Verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High. Time out. Hold on. You can't be a priest and a king at the same time. Impossible. You can if you're an endless creature. Don't you remember in Revelations He said He has made us what? Kings and priests. Wow. Watch the text. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show it to you. He says in verse number 2, to whom all will say Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, after this also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. I'm telling you tonight, my mom and dad told me that I was born in 1948. And I'm about convinced that they lied to me. Because Jesus told me He chose me before the foundation of the world. I must have been existing somewhere, if nothing else, in His mind in eternity. I ain't even got no mold on me. I ain't even got algae growing under my arm. And I am a forever creature. I have always been. Wow. I tell you, when you make that your focus, your little old ends here, you every time you have an end, woo, I am closer to starting the beginning. Because when you step out over there, that is the beginning of forever. But the credentials of His position. I notice the connection of His position. You've got the Bible there. Hold it there in Hebrews for just a second. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. What is God's demand for His building? Did you know, I hope you know, did you know you can't go to heaven if you ain't perfect? How's that working out for you? Can't go to heaven if you ain't perfect. You say, preacher, you prove that from the Bible? Brought up, couldn't prove it from the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, red letters, Jesus speaking. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can't go to heaven unless you're perfect. Little word perfect that He uses there. Very similar word that Peter used in his epistle. He said, be ye also holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. Very similar word, the writer of Hebrews says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Without perfection, no man shall see God. Impossible for you to go to heaven if you ain't perfect. How's that working out for you? You got the Bible there? Hebrews chapter number 10. Back in our Hebrews passage. I love this. He says in Hebrews chapter number 10, in verse number 12. But here it is again. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hey, y'all probably never have seen anybody that's perfect. You ever see them silly bumper stickers on the car? They say, I'm not perfect, I'm forgiven. I want to blow the horn and say I'm forgiven and perfect too. Say, you're crazy. No, I'm just telling you what Jesus did. If he's living in this house.
Right.
You say, preacher, what am I to do until my ends come? These ends have a way of rattling me, upsetting me. Watch the text, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. That by two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie, you might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. If you're saved tonight, you're claiming that you have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. That the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's a big if. He is living inside of you. He has put an anchor rope on your soul. He tied an anchor rope to your soul when he saved you. He has taken the other end of the anchor rope into the Holy of Holies of heaven behind the veil. And he has anchored the other end to himself. He says he is now making intercession for you. Please don't pinch me. Please do not wake me up. This is not in the Bible, but I believe it with all my heart. He's got the anchor rope around me. He's got the anchor rope around himself. He is sitting beside the Father and he's praying for me. I believe with all of my heart. This is what he's doing while he's praying. He's pulling me on past the ends of this world. Gently pulling me into the world of endlessness. You say, preacher, how in this world can I know if I got that anchor rope on the side of me?
Talk to us.
Little boy out one day flying a kite. Done let all the string out. Done got dark. He's still flying his kite. Pitch black dark, still flying his kite. Old man come along and says, Sonny, what you doing with that stick in your hand? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I can't see your kite. How you know it's still out there? He said, I feel a tug on this string every now and then. Preacher, how you know you got an anchor rope on you? Every now and then I feel a... I get right light feeling. Got a tug on me. You say, I ain't never felt nothing like that. Maybe because you ain't got no anchor rope on you. I was thinking again today about a little story I read about a high school student. Many of you high school students. Pastor told him he'd like to talk to him. Knew he was coming on up into close to his senior year. Wanted to know what he was going to do with his life. they began to talk, and he asked him, he said, "What are you going to do after high school?" He said, "Well," he says, "it's my plans to go to college." Pastor said, "Well, what about after that?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, "I'd like to get me a good job, you know, try to make a living." Pastor said, "Well, what about after that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'd like to meet me a cute girl, and we get married and settle down and have us a house." Pastor asked him, he said, "Well," he said, "what about after that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'd like to have some children. I really would like to be a parent." Pastor said, "Well," he said, "what about after that?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, "I wouldn't mind one day having some grandchildren." He said, "Well," he said, "what about after that?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, "I hope one day I'd have a good enough job and maybe one day retire." Pastor said, "Well, what about after that?" He said, "Well, you know," he said, "I hope we got enough money, my wife and I, and we can travel around, maybe see our children or grandchildren, and just enjoy them." Pastor said, "Well, what about after that?" The old boy, he was upset by now. And he said, "Well, I guess I'll die." Said, "Well, what about after that?" I'm asking you tonight, when your ends have finally come and gone, well, what's it going to be after that? I'm telling you tonight, you do not have the endless Christ living inside of you. You're going to a world where you'll be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm glad tonight that I can say with the songwriter, "To Canaan land, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of man never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep, where the soul of man never dies. And everlasting joy I'll reap, where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, for all is love, soul, man never dies." What shall help you with your ends tonight as you confront them on this journey of life? The only thing that'll help you through every one of them tonight is to know that you've got an undying soul inside of you tonight that is going to live forever in a place called heaven. I asked you again tonight, are you 100% sure that God Almighty is living in your house? Would you stand with us tonight? Preacher's coming. Tell us what to do next.
Come get us a song, Brother Brian. You You don't have to have gray hair for the end to come in this earthly realm. There's a grave for this hill. The two babies buried. The flowers have not yet completely faded. You don't have to be old for the end to come. Young or old or all in between. You better be ready for the end to come. Because it's a coming. Brother Tom mentioned it earlier in the week, maybe Sunday morning. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. But you can't stay here. You can't stay here. What you got, Brother Brian?
Let's do where the soul never dies.
Amen.
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way.
Be a good night to get saved.
Never dies.
My be a good night to
darkest night.
Get anchored.
Turn today where the soul.
Can you pull on the anchor and feel the other end?
No sad farewell, no fear delight. Where all is love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul.
Is that your song?
Never dies.
Are you on that way? Are you
where
in the way?
There will be no parting hand, and the soul never dies. No.
This is going by my thoughts. I met a number of lost people here these last several services. Some of you here tonight, and you know it. Oh my, the end is coming. The end is coming. Are you ready? So, well, I'll go home and get ready. No. You'll get ready when God's a calling your name, when God's a squeezing them in your heart. I told somebody yesterday, years ago, up at Trinity, as a young lady, God had been dealing with her heart. Wanted to talk to me about being saved, how to be saved. I shared the gospel with her. In fact, it's during Bible school. They brought her to me from class. We talked, and I shared the gospel with her. She said, well, instead of me praying, she said, could I just write it out? Now, what would you have said? I said, no, that won't work. She was shocked. In fact, her grandma got mad. I said, it's not because God can't read. I said, but it's because you can't put no conditions on Him. And when He's squeezing on your heart in a service, you'll come then or you'll not come. You'll come then or you'll not come. Oh my, I thank the Lord for the preaching of the Word of God. Sing one more verse, Brother Brian.
A rose is blooming there for me where the soul
Are you sure?
never dies.
Are you sure?
And I